Chapter 3. Boston, June 1994. In the beginning, there was sushi. Five neat little rows lined up across a glass coffee table, like a battalion of squat, brightly colored soldiers. Above the battalion, a strong scent of seaweed and raw fish spread out in a fog to fill the cramped, 70s-era high-rise apartment. Beneath the table stood a pyramid of discarded cardboard cartons from Toyama, the late-night Japanese dive located a few blocks away in Boston's moderately European Back Bay. The dive wasn't a favorite, but an expedience, one of the few restaurants open past midnight on a Sunday in a city that still clung to antiquated blue laws and puritanical facades, despite playing home to one of the largest, rowdiest college-age populations on Earth. The sushi was part of a weekly routine. As usual, it was well after 2 in the morning, and Kevin Lewis was crashed out in the worn futon in the middle of the sparsely furnished living room. The TV was on, with the sound turned down, and Kevin was half asleep. His body ached from 2 hours at the MIT gym, and his mind was numb from a long day spent sequestered in a chemistry lab at one of Boston's top hospitals. It was 2 months into the summer after his junior year, and he had spent so much time surrounded by test tubes, he was beginning to identify them by name. The daily grind at the lab was made worse by the fact that he no longer had any interest in medicine as a career. He just hadn't figured out how to break the news to his parents. His father was still trying to convince him to quit the MIT swim team so he could spend more time on his research. More time with the goddamn test tubes. Kevin had just turned 20 a month before, and he was old enough to make his own decisions about the direction of his life. But like most 20-year-olds, he had no idea where he was heading. He knew only where he didn't want to end up. It was 1993, the dawn of the Internet revolution. Many of his MIT classmates were already conceiving startups in their dorm rooms, conspiring to turn the high-tech skills that had made many of them pariahs in high school into launchpads for their billion-dollar dreams. The kids who weren't dissecting microprocessors in their bunk beds were set to ride the tried-and-true waves of Wall Street. Venture capital, investment banking, tech consulting. MIT, along with Harvard and the other Ivies, was one of the main feeders to the vast money-making machines fueling the revolution. If the 80s had made greed acceptable, the 90s had elevated it to an art form. Medicine, academia, science for science's sake, these were not compelling choices in the tornado of options swirling around a campus such as MIT. But unlike many of his classmates, Kevin didn't see himself being satisfied by a life on Wall Street or a smoke-and-mirror sojourn in a Silicon Valley. He didn't think of himself as some sort of saint. He was as addicted to the notion of unfettered greed as the kid on the next bunk over. He just hadn't yet found his drug of choice.